Welcome to the StarNet Regions 1 and 3 podcast. Illinois StarNet envisions a future where early childhood professionals and families have the supports needed to provide all children with a high-quality, equitable education in inclusive environments. StarNet's mission is to promote evidence-based inclusive practices for young children with disabilities, professional development to support educators and families, meaningful child outcomes through innovative and engaging learning experiences. To find out more about StarNet Regions 1 and 3, please visit starnet.org/home.
Welcome to the Regions 1 and 3 StarNet podcast. We're here today with Nikki Pelkey. She is a student in the WIU Incumbent Workforce Pathway and currently employed as a long-term substitute teacher. She's worked as a paraprofessional for 3 years at P.H. Miller Elementary School. Nikki has had the opportunity to learn research of inclusive classroom practices and apply it at the same time. Nikki works with children ages 3 to 4, including children with disabilities. So today, we're going to talk about a unique experience that Nikki has set up with her students to be able to offer choice and oral language during snack time. So Nikki, we know that child choice in their learning experiences is an important part of 21st century skill development for all children. Talk to us a minute about how did you come up with the idea of snack choice protocols and why do they matter?
No, that's a great question. There's actually a lot of things kind of swirling around that contributed to that. Recently, I had gone to the Sharing a Vision conference where the big message was inclusion. And then one of the things that really stuck out to me was offering choices to those students. And I noticed that I didn't do that as much in my classroom, and I was trying to think of ways to do that. Through my classes at Western, with all the lesson plannings that we were working on, we were trying to make everything intentional and make sure it's research-based. So I was lucky to have so many articles presented to me with the research that supported what I need to do in the classroom. One of the really great things is that I work with an amazing speech pathologist, and she has already used snack as a motivator for when she's working on concepts such as yes and no, or more, all done, and just kind of starting that communication process.
I really like, Nikki, that you are working in tandem with your speech path and thinking about how do we put those components in the classroom, right? Versus having just an individual pullout session and not really applying it. So when I saw that you guys were doing that, so for our audience, so you know, I walked in and there was like the regular snack table. Everybody's having snack together. This wasn't, you know, an individual process. But then each child had individual choice about the snack they were going to have that day. Lots of conversation about what snack they wanted. A very authentic feel for students to practice those speech pathology goals.
Yeah, and it was something we really hadn't done too much before, and it kind of worked out great because it was the holiday coming up was Thanksgiving. So we wanted to connect what we were learning in school to what they might be doing at home. So we kind of took it in the direction of having a small Thanksgiving feast in the classroom during our snack time. But making the choice board was really their way of being able to tell us what they wanted and what they like. And we were able to learn a lot about our students that day, as well as give them a chance to feel comfortable with their communication to us.
There were so many helpful visuals right there at the table that not only correlated with snack time, but correlated with your overall unit. Can you take a minute just to talk about how you decided to develop those visuals and how they related to their communication boards?
I love learning new things. So I just had started learning about Board Maker and how to use it. So it was kind of a fun process for me as well to take a look at what I could put out there for the students to communicate. Each unit, we kind of focus on some vocabulary and maybe a core communication concept that we want to make sure we're hitting with these students. So to come up with that choice board, I try to put all those elements of what we're doing in the classroom together, trying to think of all the things that they may want to tell us and they don't quite have the words to tell us yet, but also relate it to what we're doing.
And then, you know, so for the audience, the kids were all at the table, they're having snack, they have a visual choice board where they get to select which snack they wanted at that moment. They could also select if they wanted more or a new choice. And then I watched as they went out into centers, and the vocabulary pieces that they were using in centers also correlated back to the conversation they just had. So that was ideal. And students were able to participate at different levels based on where they're at right now. So I liked how the experience met every child where they were, but in a way that also made every child feel included in the conversation. So for a child that might have been able to say a sentence, that was really encouraged through a lot of back and forth with Nikki or the speech path or the peer educators in the room and the child. And also if a child needed to use a communication board, they were able to use that. But I really like, Nikki, how the staff was continuing to have a regular conversation. The educators in the room were still using complete sentences, still using that content vocabulary. So we weren't lowering the thinking level or the engagement level, just making it accessible. And I thought that was really powerful. Could you share a little bit about how this opportunity ties to IEP goals and how you thought about using the same sort of structure so that everybody could be included and collaborative, but still meeting each individual goal?
And IEP goals are sometimes tricky. Like, you really got to think about that more in depth, especially on my students. Many of them just turned 3, so they're brand new to school. So we're really focusing on attention and getting that attention piece. So having something that motivates them that they want to learn about will help gain their attention. So then we can start working on those communication goals. Getting to know your students really well, too, is really the thing with our students, where we know where they're at and what we can do to push them. We're constantly taking data to make sure that we're maintaining those goals in their IEP, and honestly, watching my kids kind of blow them out of the water lately has been just amazing. But I think just having that chance to communicate your wants and needs is really what they need in their IEPs as well. Like, that's where it comes from.
Thanks, Nikki. And can you tell us a little bit about what you noticed as the children started to engage in this process and as that snack choice opportunity took place over time?
I know it takes time. So our students are emerging at different paces. A lot of our students have now, since doing that, and we're incorporating those choices more often in the classroom, where they are initiating communication, trying to gain our attention. We are getting so many more vocalizations with our nonverbal students. So getting the kids to just start doing it really has helped with every other part of our classroom activities.
And I noticed that there was a lot of kind of joy and communication at the table with one another too. And I think that when we think about a mealtime, of course, we don't want to use food as a reward, right? But when we think about a mealtime as a rewarding experience, that's really true for all of us, right? And so when we think about inclusive practices for children with disabilities, I think when we go back to that humanistic core of relationships and in this case, right, sharing conversation over a meal, that's such a gathering experience for all of us. And I really like that I saw that replicated in the classroom authentically, but also in a way that allowed them to use their visual supports, use their Velcro pictures, use their communication boards, have the posters available, the different kinds of snack choices. So it was like very authentic and very relationship based, but also pulling in those appropriate scaffolds and supports in a way that really the kids had a lot of choices about how much they used the scaffolds and supports or how little. So they were also given choice about how do I engage in this experience? And I noticed, you know, a lot of eye contact happening, a lot of smiles back and forth. And so I really appreciated that it was a very natural experience, the way the kids were sitting around the table together versus pulling a child each individually and kind of having them make their snack choice that way. So I appreciated that about the experience that you had facilitated for the students. Sometimes it's adult nature to take over those kinds of basic tasks, right? Such as snack or cleanup time. How did you nurture your staff to take on a new, more facilitator role in helping children use their voice and make their own choices?
Yeah, that's kind of, it's hard for us to take a step back and let the child lead any activity. Throughout the year, we have really been focusing on wait time. So whenever we are asking a question or saying something, we want to give that child the processing time. And I think slowing down what we want to do and going at their pace will help us give them their voice, help them become more willing to tell us what they want or need, and just kind of building those relationships with the students. So my staff is really great where they just, they're willing to do whatever ideas or crazy things I come up with. And we've been able to build some really great relationships with these students. And having that trust is kind of that foundation to all of it.
I know how you said, you said something really important, Nikki. You said we kind of slow down and focus less on our own agendas, so that we can notice where the kids' learning wants to go, right? Or where their interest lies, or what they're ready for next. And I think that that was such a powerful statement, right? Because sometimes we're so focused on what is the IEP goal? What is the standard? And we need those things. But I think it's so important what you said, slow down, put our own agendas on the shelf for a minute and just see where kids are wanting to take their learning. I think that was a really powerful statement. So as you think about maybe educators wanting to try this in their own classrooms, what would you say as the prep, what were some of the key things that you needed to get ready so that, you know, when you brought the kids to the table, it really did feel like that authentic kind of meal sharing time and you were ready to just be a part of that versus trying to make it work? Right. So what kind of prep did you put in place to make sure that that conversation experience was prepared?
Yeah, I think kind of thinking about what, since most of my students are nonverbal, I wanted to think about what words, what kind of conversations, what would we talk about at the table? What would they need to say? What kind of actions would they need to do? you know, if they wanted to tell us if they want to eat or drink, or even ideas on how you can put together two word phrases for them. So really creating that choice board that had the vocabulary that they needed is kind of the first step. Making sure that you provide them with items that they would want to do, or what you want your choices to be. So in this case, we had several snack items, and I kind of knew what they liked already, but having it out there where they could make several choices, tell us if they're all done, if they want more, if they had anything else to say about it. So all that kind of goes into it. So making those choice boards effective, kind of prepping the staff ahead of time and saying, hey, we're going to try something different today. So being able to clearly communicate with your staff members also helps. But also kind of thinking about throughout the week where we've talked a lot about our theme and almost giving the why behind it to the students so that, again, they can connect that to their lives.
Nikki, you've provided a lot for us to think about, and I hope that people will go out into their classrooms and try this kind of roundtable, authentic snack choice experience. Is such an oral language developer, and also just really helping students build confidence in their language usage through something that feels so comfortable. So I appreciate you sharing with us today, and I hope that you continue to have these kinds of experiences in your classrooms, and I hope that our audience tries to give it a shot. Thanks, Nikki.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the StarNet Regions 1 and 3 podcast. If you have any questions or concerns, please reach out by emailing starnet@wiu.edu or submit a request by clicking on the Request Services tab on our homepage.